This morning we're going to open up to the book of Romans chapter 1, if you would with me. And I will be reading Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8 and going through verse 17. So hear now the word of the Lord. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see right here in these pages that the righteous shall live by faith, and so we ask that you would give us faith. Give us faith in your word. Give us faith in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may that faith increase this morning and each time that we gather around your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 25 years ago, Highview Evangelical Presbyterian Church was founded. The year was 1993, and for some people here, 1993 may feel like it was just yesterday. For some people, it may feel like it was a long time ago, and for some of you, it may feel like it's a mixture of both, right? A lot of things have changed since 1993. If you look back at 1993, you'll discover that things cost quite a lot less than they did now, than they do now. The average price of gas in 1993 was $1.16. Can we go back to those days? The average price of a movie ticket, from what I researched, was $4.14. The average cost of a new car was $12,750. As far as entertainment is concerned, take a ride back in time with me here. Some of the top songs, the top hits of 1993, we'll see how good your trivia is here. Top hits of 93 were Dream Lover by Mariah Carey, I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston, and last but not least, A Whole New World from the Aladdin soundtrack. And how many times was that one sung at the school recitals? I wasn't even very old at the time, and I remember that song being sung too many times. A Whole New World, right? Top two movies of 1993, number one movie of 1993 was the very original Jurassic Park. That was the top movie of 1993. Number two was Mrs. Doubtfire. Some of you remember that. The new shows of that year that were the most popular were Frasier and The X-Files. 93 wasn't that long ago in some ways, but there are a lot of things that we take for granted today that are part of our everyday lives in today that were not part of our everyday lives in 1993. Nobody used the internet, really, in 1993. Probably most of us really didn't even know what the internet was about. It was, except for maybe a few people who were the tech geeks. Virtually nobody owned a cell phone. Even home computers were in their real infancy stage. It was actually, interestingly enough, in 1993 that the Intel Corporation produced the first Pentium chip. And now, how many new generations of the Pentium chips have there been? But 93 was the first Pentium chip, and look how far we've come. Some of the big events of 1993 were the inauguration of Bill Clinton as President of the United States, the World Trade Center bombing, and the infamous siege in Waco, Texas. Many people remember that, all in 1993. So a lot has changed since 1993. Not only has the world around us changed quite a bit, but all of us in this room have changed quite a bit since 1993. For example, here's what a few of our elders looked like in 1993. Let's look at the first one. That's David Block. David looks pretty good, I think. David, I think David needs to bring back those glasses. Jerry Swanson. Just so you know, I had verified after I saw this picture that Jerry was not formerly part of the mafia. So, Jerry, it's good. It's good. Bruce Moore with Donald Duck there, and nice, and Jake Schlieder. Last but not least. Oh, yeah. And just so we don't leave some others out of this, here's what our youth director looked like in 1993. Oh, it's a little dark, but you can see her there. Just so that I don't leave myself out of this, here's what your pastor looked like in 1993. Can somebody explain to me what was up in the 90s with those laser backgrounds? I don't know why that was a thing, but that was a thing for a few years, wasn't it? A lot has changed since 1993, hasn't it? We've changed since 1993. Some people in this room weren't born in 1993, but there is one thing that has not changed since 1993, and that's the gospel. The gospel has not changed since 1993. The gospel has not changed since 1893 or 893 or 93. The gospel is the unchanging news of salvation that has not changed and never will change for generations to come. And last night at our anniversary program, we talked about this vision statement of our church that puts the gospel at the center of who we are, that we want to glorify God and make disciples who are completely transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we move into this next 25 years together, we want the gospel to remain at the center of who we are. And so on this occasion, I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about the gospel. And looking at the beginning of the book of Romans and seeing what Paul says about the gospel, because Paul says some significant things about the gospel in Romans 1. And some of you have heard of the I am statements of Jesus in the gospel of John, and there's a number of them. Well, in Romans 1, Paul, many people have observed, makes a series of his own I am statements. And they're I am statements about the gospel. And so as we talk about the gospel at the center of who we are in our 25th anniversary, I want to see what Paul says about the gospel. And so the first declaration that he says is, I am obligated. I am obligated. At the beginning of this letter to the Romans, he starts by giving thanks for the believers in Rome. He says he's been praying for them. And then he says he's been longing to come to Rome because he wants to preach there and he wants to reap the harvest there and preach the gospel. Here's what he says in verse 13. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, there it is, both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Do you know notice what he's saying there? Paul says he doesn't just desire to come to Rome and preach the gospel, but he says he's obligated to do it. According to the New Testament, a person who is a follower of Jesus is someone who is obligated to tell others about Jesus. It's central to the calling of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why are we obligated? Well, there's just a real basic and simple answer, and it's because Jesus commanded it. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we often call it, Jesus said these words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, that's referred to as the Great Commission, but what it's a reminder of is that one of the reasons we're obligated as a church and as followers of Jesus is to share the good news is simply because Jesus commanded us to do it. Jesus said something similar in Acts chapter 1 when he said these words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." To be a Christian is to be a witness. And we bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the central identity of a Christian, is to be a witness. You know, the word that we get, they translate as witness in Greek, is martus, which is where we get the word martyr. The word martyr is the same word that we translate in the New Testament as witness. And so a Christian martyr is somebody who's borne witness to Christ by giving up their life for Jesus Christ. Now, not all of us will have to give up our lives to follow Jesus, but we will all have to be witnesses. That's central to the calling of a believer. That's why in Highview's new vision statement, we make clear that we believe that mission activity is central to our calling. And we say that a person who is transformed by the gospel is sent with the gospel. Because we recognize that it's the mandate of the church from Jesus Christ to take the gospel to all nations as Jesus commanded us. Or if you look at Matthew 24:24, he says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." We talked about in our new vision how one of our core values is the priority of mission, and it all comes back to this. It all comes back to the fact that we are obligated, as Paul says, "I am obligated to share the gospel because it's the world's only hope. All believers are sent into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ." Charles Spurgeon once said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. That's a strong way of putting it, isn't it? But I don't think it's too far off. So Paul says, "I am obligated." And so are we. But he doesn't just say, "I am obligated." He secondly says, "I am eager." Verse 15, Paul says, "So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Now, I find that significant, that he doesn't just say he's obligated, but he also says he's eager to preach the gospel. Because I think you know that there's a difference between being obligated to do something and being eager to do something. You know, I'm obligated to pay my taxes. I'm not particularly eager to pay my taxes every year. I am obligated to mow the lawn, but, you know, I'm not particularly eager to mow the lawn every week. There's usually something else on my list that I might rather do. There's all kinds of things that we're obligated to do, but we're not necessarily eager to do. And what's so interesting here is that Paul says that preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is not something he's just obligated to do, but he's eager to do it. And I would argue that all of us as Christians and as a church should be eager as well. And why? Well, I'll give you just two simple reasons. First, we should be eager because we love Jesus. You know, if you're in love with Jesus, you should be eager to tell others about how wonderful Jesus is. I mean, you know, sort of like a man and a woman when they fall in love, and I'm sure you've had this situation where you have a friend or a family member and they've fallen in love with somebody, and all they can do is talk about that person, and all they can do is tell you about how wonderful this person is and what they did with this person and how all the great qualities they have, and sometimes it just goes on and on and on. It kind of makes you sick, doesn't it? Because it's too much. Well, if that's true in human relationships, shouldn't that be all the more true in a relationship with Jesus Christ? If Jesus has changed our lives, if Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the universe, then shouldn't we want to tell others about him? We shouldn't just feel obligated. We should be eager that others might know how wonderful Jesus Christ is and the hope and the peace and the joy that he brings. There's an evangelist by the name of Rico Tice who has written some excellent books on evangelism, and he said this. He said, "Evangelism is like pointing a parched friend to the fountain. You and I have found the fountain. Many around us have not. Our joyful privilege is to tell them where it is to be found by telling them about Jesus." In other words, we should be eager to tell others about Jesus Christ. But we shouldn't just be eager because we love Jesus. We should be eager because we love other people. Now, what I'm about to say is not popular, and what I'm about to say is not politically correct. But what I am about to say is biblical. And that is that according to the New Testament, the gospel is the only hope of salvation, and without the gospel, people will perish. There's no plan B. There's no other path to salvation. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, people will perish. As Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when we come to grips with that reality, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, then you have to come to grips with that reality. And when that begins to sink in, we should be eager to share the gospel, not just because we love Jesus, but because we love others and we don't want to see them perish. You know, so often, I've said this before, but so often we convince ourselves that we don't talk about Jesus with other people because we love them too much. You know, we don't want to step on their toes. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. We don't want to have an awkward conversation. We don't want to offend anybody. But the reality is, oftentimes, the reason we don't talk about Jesus with others is not because we love them too much. It's because we don't love them enough. And if we understood that the gospel is the only hope, and let that sink in, then we should be eager, like Paul. He says, I am obligated, certainly, but I am also eager in my calling. And that brings us to the third I am statement of Paul in these opening verses of Romans. He also says, I am not ashamed. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul was not just obligated to share the gospel. He was not eager to share the gospel. But he was more than those things. He was not ashamed of the gospel. And those are words that I think we desperately need to hear in 2018. Because there are so many reasons why it's tempting to be ashamed of the gospel today. In a world where Christianity in many circles is increasingly seen as outdated and irrelevant. In many circles, Christian morality is often seen as backwards and to some even threatening. And so it's very easy to feel ashamed of being a follower of Jesus. It's very easy to feel ashamed of being a Christian. It's very easy to feel ashamed of the gospel, as if it's something that I don't want to talk too much with others about because of the way it's going to make me appear. We desperately need, in 2018, believers who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Why should we be unashamed? Well, Paul tells us. He says, because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's not something to be ashamed of. The world could laugh at that. The world could scoff at that. People can ridicule that. But what the world cannot change is that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And nothing anyone could ever say to you is going to change that reality. And therefore, we should not be ashamed of that reality. I am obligated. I am eager, and I am unashamed. And what am I obligated and eager and unashamed of? Paul says it's the gospel. We've put the gospel at the center of our new vision statement, but really the gospel has been at the center of Highview's ministry for the past 25 years. This is something we've always been committed to and that we want to remain committed to for years to come. Now, in connection with this, we're going to start a new sermon series next Sunday that's going to be related to this. And if you look in your bulletin this morning, you should have seen one of these little postcards that says on the front, "What is the gospel?" What is the gospel? That's the name of the series we're going to start next Sunday. There are many people in the world today who wouldn't be sure what the gospel is all about or wouldn't be sure how to answer that question. I found even in Christian circles, even in many churches, many Christians have a hard time defining what is the gospel, what is it all about. We hear that word a lot. We've talked about it before, but maybe our understanding is a little bit fuzzy. And my hope and desire is that every single believer at Highview would have a clear understanding of the gospel, not only for yourself, but so that you would be able to explain that to somebody else. My hope is that this sermon series is going to be a blessing to everyone, regardless of where you are in your faith. Maybe you're a longtime Christian, but you are a little bit fuzzy on how would you articulate the gospel. This is going to be an opportunity to have a good, in-depth understanding. Maybe you're a new Christian. You're relatively young in the faith. It's going to be an opportunity to have a strong foundation and understanding of what the gospel is all about. But this is also an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody else. I've been talking about Paul's words, I am obligated and I am eager. Well, how can you share the gospel with someone? Well, one of the ways is you could invite them to come hear about the gospel over the next 4 weeks. Maybe you're not sure how you would explain it to somebody, but you know somebody who would benefit from hearing what is the gospel all about. Well, we're going to go through it over 4 Sundays and try to give you a very in-depth understanding of what the gospel is all about. So one of the ways you could share the good news is to invite a friend. Give this postcard to somebody who perhaps isn't part of Highview, and encourage them and challenge them to come and hear what the gospel is all about. I challenge all of you to do that, to take this with you and think about somebody who you might give it to. But at the beginning of this message, I said there are many things that have changed over the past 25 years, and we know that. The world was very different in 1993 than it is in 2018. In many ways, we've changed a lot, as you could see from some of those funny pictures, but of all the things that have changed in the last 25 years, the gospel is not one of them. The gospel has not changed in the past 25 years. It hasn't changed since the coming of Jesus Christ, and it's not going to change in the next 25 years. And that's why we want to be a church that seeks to glorify God and make disciples who are completely transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. My prayer for Highview is that 25 years from now, there's going to be a group of people here celebrating a 50th anniversary. And my prayer is that at that gathering, every single person who is at that gathering would be able to say 3 things. I am obligated, I am eager, and I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news. Lord, you are the one that has opened our eyes and given us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive this message. Help us, O Lord, to remember that this is the most important message, and that this is the only hope for the world. Help us to be your messengers and your witnesses. And I pray that in the coming weeks, you would give us a clearer understanding of the gospel so that our faith might be increased and so that we might be equipped to tell others about this good news. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear these words from the scriptures. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.